Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Many thanks for joining us today. The MSU Department of Theater's production of Bugs starts tonight and runs this weekend and next. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins me for more about the play. I see this playwright's responsible for another play our listeners probably know about.
You know, I was looking at the name and I'm going, boy, this is familiar. It's Tracy Letts who wrote August Osage County.
Right.
And it deals with themes of trauma, paranoia, and trust. And earlier this week, I talked with Rob Rosnowski. He's the head of acting and directing in MSU's Department of Theater. I asked him to give us an idea of what the play was about.
Bug is about a Gulf War veteran who comes back and has some PTSD and some mental issues and collides with a woman who is deeply depressed. And so they meet together in her hotel room where she lives, and it's about their interactions and about how their lives devolve together and about their friends that are around them.
Tell us about the process of putting this production together. I mean, from what you've said and from what I've read about it, it's a pretty intense piece of work.
It is an intense piece of work. It's by Tracy Letts, who wrote August Osage County. And it's what it deals with is mental issues and mental delusions and hallucinations and things like that. And what we tried to do with the actors was bring in as many mental health professionals as we could to talk about, to analyze, to diagnose the characters in the play, and to help us bring a consistent and real approach to it. So that's been really the most fascinating part for me.
Really? So you actually brought in therapists to talk to the cast?
We brought in Jonathan Novello from the Employee Assistance Program at MSU. He was really intimately acquainted with the play and started coming in and talking to us. This line means that. This line with their shared delusions here means this. This dependency on this narcotic is this. So that was exciting. And then we brought in Captain Lepley from the National Guard, who works with PTSD and veterans that way, veterans who are sometimes drug addicted, veterans who are homeless, and how then that aspect of the show could be brought on to life on stage.
I'm guessing this is for mature audiences.
Absolutely mature audiences, yeah. The show itself is less than 2 hours, but you really do see this really upsetting decline from people functioning in society to people not in no way functioning in society.
One of the characters, one of the main characters being the service member whose mm-hmm. experience in the Gulf War has been damaging to his well-being. In the past, I've heard some veterans complaining about always being portrayed as messed up in films. And what can you do as a director with your cast members to balance, you know, the real mental health issues faced by war veterans with the kind of stereotype of the crazed vet?
Well, I think that most importantly, bringing in those professionals was really the best way to address that. So certainly this is a very specific and very theatrical case where the issues of what this person has experienced, this veteran has experienced, has manifested in a very specific way. And it's certainly not speaking for all veterans. But I think that what we tried to do was just really take Tracy Letts's decline of this character and examine that on a very personal level rather than a message level.
Tell me a little bit about your cast members.
Sure. This is the final two thesis roles for our MFA actors, our graduate actors. Throughout the year, they've been assigned thesis roles that they have been researching and working on since last year. And so these two roles, the role of Agnes and the role of Peter Evans, they are their thesis roles. So they've been really examining, exploring. They're the people that are on stage throughout the entire show, and they really have set the pace and the bar for the rehearsal process.
When you're dealing with darker, more intense material like this, how do you and the cast keep from getting yourself into kind of the, you know, Apocalypse Now kind of place where, yeah, you're taking the material seriously, but how do you keep from taking it too seriously?
That's a great question. I think it's twofold, right? And when we were going through the process, really the idea, I don't think the actors understood quite how exhausting it would be to tackle this subject and to tackle these people. So it was funny, as we went through the rehearsal process, the two lead actors kept themselves more and more isolated and excluded in the warm-up process from the show, right? So that they could get in the correct mindset to really truly invest in what it was going to take for 2 hours. But it's really the cool-down process rather than the warm-up. It's the cool down process after you have laid everything out on that stage. It's pretty amazing in terms of the fireworks, the pyrotechnics that they have to explore throughout those 2 hours. So it's really the cool down process afterwards where they can get out of that awful headspace, get out of that paranoid headspace, and come back to getting notes and how to make the show better the next night. So it really is, it is about taking yourself seriously, but also at the same time keeping that dimension of removal that's really necessary for the best acting.
I understand this was a movie in 2006, Ashley Judd, I believe. Right. Are there special burdens or gifts that come from doing a stage play that has been at some point a movie?
Wow. I guess so. I saw the movie back when it first came out because it was William Friedkin, I believe, that directed it, and I love him. So I wanted to just see it for that. I never thought I would direct it or didn't think about it. So it's funny. I don't think the movie's well-known enough, so I don't know if it's necessarily that burden that we have to recreate Ashley Judd's performance. I don't think that's part of that. But I do think that there is a shortcut that happens for research in today's actors that I sort of hate, where you watch someone else's performance to mimic it, as opposed to, even if you do use that as research, using that as a base to create your own choices. So that's what I think is a better way to go.
That's funny, because for so many years, musicians, especially blues and pop musicians, learned their parts from listening to other people's records.
Right.
But I suppose, you know, with drama, that can be a real burden.
It really is a burden, right? Because you're sitting there and then you believe that's the only way to look at it. And what we, certainly in academic theater, it's about the exploration of various vantage points, right? So you can, certainly that line can be done in that way, but it can also mean so many other things and be taken in so many other ways. And I think you lose that level of exploration and research if you're just mimicking.
So you saw the movie without knowing or thinking that you would be directing the play at some point. How did you come to choose this play? Was it a group effort with you and your students, or how did you happen to settle on this play?
It was funny because we were working on, we were going to be doing a 9-hour production of Strange Interlude by Eugene O'Neill, and we just assumed that there was revisions and cuttings and available that for the script, and we were unable to, through the licensor, get to a reduced version of the script. And I don't want to sit in a theater for 9 hours, do you?
Highly unlikely.
Totally. So I really would, I mean, I will eventually direct that play, which would be great. But really, we settled on this play after we had explored some scene work in an MFA acting class. And it really seemed to fit what these two actors needed in their thesis roles, which is really about the idea of, you know, what do you need to master before you leave your safe academic, you know, playground? And also, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And what terrifies you? And this seemed to fit all of those things. Yeah.
You've planned a talk back related to mental health awareness after one of the performances. Why?
Well, we have two talkbacks. On opening night will be the two people that worked with our actors. So that's on opening this Thursday. And then next Thursday is another talkback with mental health awareness. And that was set up through our stage manager who works with student groups across campus. Really, the play speaks to a lot of issues, right, about codependence, about abuse, about, you know, paranoia. And so it covers a lot of bases and I think can begin people talking.
Rob Rosnowski, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.